please check in Kilo 4 Oscar Juliet Whiskey. That's K4OJW, Daniel and Seneca. And I'll be negative and negative. I was just adjusting the volume on my speaker, and I needed voices to do it, and you guys provided it. So I'm going to hang out with you for a while.
Net control. And KO4ZEW, Ben as in Benjamin in Simpsonville. I think I got my crossband repeat set up.
4DOS on the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We'd like to say good evening to 4OJW, Mr. Daniel, down there in Seneca. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Daniel. Hope you are doing well and staying safe. And, Daniel, come back as often as you can. We'd love to have you each and every night if you can make it. We have this net starts at 9 o'clock, a different net controller each night. But we'd love to have you if you can make it, and, or whenever you can make it, we'd love to have you. But do appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us. And glad you found us tonight, needing to check the volume on your radio. Doing well and staying safe. And then we got KO4ZEW. That's Mr. Ben. He's down there in Simpsonville. Ben, that crossband repeat's doing you a good job there, young man, if that's what you're using tonight. You're solid into the repeater, so nobody in here but you when you're talking. Sound like you're in the room with me. Hope you are well and safe. Going back to Rex, you of KO4HKX. Patrick, I'm pulling your thing now. I can't get all the call signs right.
It was a good laugh anyway, Gary. So don't worry. I'm not offended by it in the least little bit. But I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to be done. I'm going to call it a night. For those of you that want to get involved in this hobby, this right here, this net, being a part of this net, checking in on the RF, learning how to use your radio, learning how to handle it, learning how to when you're passing traffic to stay calm, give your call sign slowly so the net control can understand it, and how to handle yourself, radio etiquette is, I guess, the best way to put it, is the best thing you can do for this hobby, is get involved and be a part of this net, because that's what's taught me how to do what I have done the last week. That and the man...
timed his radio out.
Not something I do very often, but I've done it a couple of times this past week. But I wanted to give credit where it was due and learn it. And I don't know where I got cut off, but I wanted to say that, Gary, you have been instrumental in helping me learn how to do what I've done. And I just want to give you the credit you deserve for that. Because even before I become a net controller, I used to sit and practice with you as you were calling the nets and learning how to do that and how to handle yourself on the radio.
Appreciate that, and I hope that you were picking out the good parts and leaving the bad parts someplace else. Because I'm not always the role model, I'll put it that way. But do appreciate it, and anytime to the folks out there in Radio Land, anytime you need help or you've got a question about something, if you'll ask another ham, it doesn't matter who it is, they may know, and if they don't know, maybe they know somebody that does know. I had a couple of Elmers, and my father-in-law was one, WB4YUO. He's a silent key, and K4SUG, Mr. Ray Allison, he was a silent key, and or he is a silent key. And I have had others that have brought me along and helped me out. One of the ones that I got a kick out of the most was WB4ZBZ, Mr. Gene Owensby. And I tell you what, folks, he taught me a lot. I mean, he corrected me when I made a mistake on the air, and he wouldn't make any bones about it. So my hat's off to all of my Elmers and the folks that have helped me in the past. So it's just not just something that I know or have learned. It's something I've done as well.
That's the truth, and passing that information down to us younger hams and generations, no matter what your age, you're new to the hobby. You might be old, but you're new to the hobby, and you can still learn, and there's still lots to be taught out here. But with that, Gary, I'm going to get out of here and let somebody else have it. I'm going to call tonight because, like I said, I've got a long day tomorrow also, and but I'm going to take a little break from the radio in the morning, and somebody else is going to cover it. That will be Mr. Sean, W4SOE. He has been instrumental in helping me this week. But I'm going to take a little break from the radio, and I'm going to go do something with a friend of mine in the morning and spend some time with him. But this is KO4HKX, and back to net control.
Well, again, thank you so much for coming in and giving us some behind-the-scenes view of what's been going on. A lot of us don't know everything that's happening. We hear what's going on the radio, but we don't see what's actually happening in the background. But do appreciate that. You get some downtime tomorrow or tomorrow morning. And have a wonderful day tomorrow, and we will talk to you a little bit later. 73, my friend. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. If you don't know, Gene has been in the hobby for a good while, and he has helped a whole lot of folks as well. And opened his property up for field days, and I don't know, he's also been a blessing to the hobby. Thank you, Gene, and hope you have a great evening and a wonderful day tomorrow. You stay well and stay safe. Last breakthrough I got is KE4UJC, Mr. Brandon, down there in Piedmont. Brandon, what have you been up to today there, young man?
UJC. Well, been an interesting week today. What we've done today was we had a survivor from Asheville that had no power, no water. That was a good friend of ours running out of service, cell service, I want to say, on Tuesday evening, and the last thing we got from her was her address, exactly where her location was, and didn't hear anything back for about 2 hours, so we jumped in the car and took off to Asheville in the middle of the night, and were able to find her and bring her back here for about a week, and brought her back today. She's supposed to be getting some power in the next couple of days of what they have scheduled, but right after we had dropped her back off with supplies, people in the area came by to bring gas burners and stoves, giving out food, water, any kind of clothing that they needed, and she's pretty set off for now.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for watching out and taking care of your friends up there when they lost cell service. Thank you for taking the initiative of going up there and finding out if they were okay. That really means a lot, any way you look at it. And I've got a sister that lives in Hendersonville or in that area. That was one of my first calls, and her husband are fine, and my nieces and nephews are all good up that way, and their children and all of that stuff. So I didn't worry. Once I got in touch with them, I didn't worry about them anymore. And finally got in touch with my sister that lives here. Well, lives over in Taylor's area. I got in touch with her, and she's doing well. So I checked on my family, but they're all doing good. And the only one that I was not really worried about was my sister that lives in Missouri. So she was not anywhere close to a storm that came through here. But she was concerned about us, and she let me know that she appreciated me letting her know about myself and my other two sisters. So I know how that feels to a point. We did not bring anyone into the home, but our home is always open in case somebody needs it, Darryl.
We had power out here at the house until just that Tuesday morning. So we had backup generators, solar panels, with backup batteries that were able to charge off the generator. I could only run the generator for about 2 hours, and I would fully charge the batteries enough to power what we needed into the house. And other family members went out of power as well. We all band together, got together, and my dad brought over not too long, I want to say, maybe on Tuesday, brought over an icon and set up everything here at the house. I've not been on the air since, I want to say, maybe since I was 13, and I am 43 now. Everybody else has gotten power back together except my uncle. He doesn't have power, he does have water, but he doesn't have power. But he's getting through because everybody around him has power, but except him right now.
Got no power, but maybe his will come on very shortly and will remain on, and they won't have to cut it off or anything else for a good long while.
I've offered to get him some generator power set up, and he's just wanting to push through. It's kind of severed. We found out, I think, this morning that the basement had been flooded, and he's known about it for the last week and didn't mind to tell nobody that he needed some help.
That's terrible that your bathroom, the basement was flooded. We were on generator here at the house for a little while. I got a old generator out there. It's not a whole house generator, but we had our refrigerator, and then of course our big freezer that food stuff's in it, and I didn't want that to go bad. And we didn't run many lights or anything like that. But I did run the refrigerator and the freezer, and my neighbor across the street, he did the same thing at his house. He's got two freezers in his refrigerator, so he ran those three items. But luckily, our power came back on, early Monday. So we weren't without power that long. Just had to run the generators for a day or so. And we were very fortunate, so I can't complain about that. But sure, I'm glad that your dad brought you a radio over there and got it hooked up so you can get back on the air.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've been wanting to get back on the air. Every time I think about it, I get busy with some other things. I'm in the automotive industry, automotive repair, general repair, and what I do for a living is build transmissions. So that's my job, and that's what I do for the community. My dad, Kilowatt Ocean 4, Mexico Zulu, is a part of the Pickens County Skywarn Net, and secondary repeater, and there's one on Caesar's Head that he runs.
I didn't know that. I'll have to look him up, but I'm a member of the Pickens County group over here, but I didn't know that. I haven't heard the call sign. I'll have to look that up.
He's been licensed since 1980. I can't remember what actual year. Take a look over here. it's been since I was 13, so it was about 20 years ago. I'm 43 now. So I've had them that long. I've kept on it. If I forgot about it too, renewed my license. My dad did it for me automatically. My brother's on, he's got one in his truck now that he's been riding around with him and his girls. Talk to my dad just about every morning on the way to school and on the way back from school.
Recheck, KI4LZI.
I got you, Eddie. Hang on just 1 second there. Well, that's great, Brandon. It really is. And sure, I'm glad that you're getting back into the hobby. You know, you don't be a stranger. You're welcome here anytime. Like I said, we have a net here each night at 9 o'clock, and you're always welcome here. And, of course, there's a lot of other nets that are around the area with different clubs and different repeaters. And, you know, it's still a whole lot of fun. Hang on there just a minute there, Brandon. Let me catch Andy. KI4LZI, go ahead.
KI4LZI, did I hear him say his father was KO4MZ?
Roger.
I know his father quite well. As he says, he comes over here quite a bit, and he talks a lot about Brandon at times, but until now, maybe he said it and I just forgot it. I didn't realize Brandon had a ham license. He may have said it and I just forgot it, but I see Eric over here almost every month over here, as he said. So back to you and back to him. I didn't realize that I was hearing Eric's son there. Back to net control, KI4LZI.
Andy, I appreciate you coming in there with that. And see, Brandon, got all kinds of folks that know your dad.
JC, yep, that is him. Go Ocean 4, Mexico.
Glad to know that, and I'll have to, well, I hadn't been to the last two or three, last couple of meetings, but I'm going to have to see if I can get over there and get to one of the meetings, and if he's there, maybe I get to shake his hand and meet him face to face. But that's, you know, Brandon, that's the reason I go to Hamfest and stuff like that. You know, I love to go to Hamfest. I don't really need anything. I may buy an item or two, but I really go to meet the folks that I talk to on the air.
Yeah, I haven't been to a ham fest since I was a kid. Used to go all the time. Every time there was one around here that came up, and we spent a lot of time down in Atlanta. There's a place down there that sold ham radio equipment. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Radio outlet down there in Atlanta. It's a really nice. Well, it's a little bitty place. I've been down there. It's really nice. It's a lot smaller than I thought it would be. You know, I had a mental picture of a huge store, but it's not huge. It's kind of compact. And but it's a nice place. And last year. A couple of friends from North Carolina came down and came by here and picked me up, and we went to the Lawrenceville Ham Fest. Had a wonderful time down there. You know, I look forward to doing that again. But that's hadn't happened yet. That's coming up.
I'm glad that my dad brought some things over in the middle of all this stuff that's been going on and kind of puts it to the forefront of what I do. Because I'm also on social media as well, and we distribute correct information versus unfactual information, so it was better off of hearing things that are going on from everybody else here that is down at the front lines of everything happening. There's so much bad information that's getting out, and I half the time can't tell what's the truth and what's not the truth.
Not completely, and well, that's what Patrick was trying to do for us. He's just trying to get the correct information out, to, you know, whether so we won't be mistaken and think things are not as bad as they really are by the news media. Because They have covered this, but they really haven't covered it like, well, I mean, you know, if we were on the coast, well, they'd have had a whole lot more coverage by now. But that's okay. Let the news media stay where the news media is, and we'll take care of our own.
Because I've got friends all over social media that are really good big names on social media. We talk them on the backside, and we've been running, well, a couple of them have already done quite a few runs up into, I think it's the Black Mountain, some to Hendersonville. I don't think they made it as far as Asheville, I'm trying to remember, but I don't believe so. And we've got some more that are getting involved this next coming weekend. I'm getting together with the preacher tomorrow to get what they've got that came back from Black Mountain. The student minister was up there gathering information on places that we need to bring supplies to, because he doesn't know really too much of exactly what was going on. It was kind of interesting about a week into this, as far as them taking anything in for the local area as well. But I'll get more information from him tomorrow, probably. So we've got quite a few runs. There are major distributors, from what I'm seeing, that are sending out things at donation drop-off points in truckloads, but they're trying to figure out how to get the donations that are coming in from the truckload side to where they need to get to, like small runners, to either have those locations come and retrieve the donations, or we're just all getting together to get those locations and bring them directly up to North Carolina, wherever they need to be.
That is part of what Patrick is doing up there. They're getting the big shipments dropped off at his location, or the church, or right across the street from the airport. And then they're getting other hams and other folks involved that are putting legs on the material that's coming in. That way they've take it out on in their cars and trucks and deliver it. Or some people are coming there to pick it up, and others are places that are impossible. Patrick said a while ago that they're using ATVs and that sort of thing to get the items that are needed to the folks that need them. And my hat's off to the folks that are putting the feet on this material that is going out, and along with the people that's working in the warehouses and everywhere else, that it's a lot of work being done by a few people.
A lot of people are doing everything they can, coming from all over the place, even just to come in with any kind of supplies to cut down trees to get to where the people are, get the people out that aren't even found yet.
For DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. What? Excuse me, KE4UJC, Mr. Brandon over there in Piedmont. But you're absolutely right.
I'm going to jump off here and just kick back and let anybody else that wants to move on in for the rag shoot for the rest of the evening. And I'm glad to meet everybody. I'm writing everybody's call signs down and doing this too, so I can get a little bit more familiar to remember. But I think I'll be on as much as I can about every night. So I'll see you guys the next time. KE4UJC.
You tell your dad we said thank you for bringing that radio and antennas and stuff over to you so you can get back on the air. Don't be a stranger now. We like I said, we'd love to have you each and every night if you can make it. But come as often as you can. 7-3 there, young man, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. You stay well and stay safe. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
KI4DOS, N4CRV.
Kid.
I just
Real quick, wanted to let you know, I just sent you an email, but also wanted to let everybody know that Monday night is the Blue Ridge meeting at the Red Cross building downtown, 940 Grove Road, 7 o'clock. Just wanted to pass that along.
Ask you if you would put a number, just give it a random number to that announcement, and I'll count that as a piece of traffic tonight.
Not received well.
Anyway, I'm sorry about that. I said, would you put a random number, you know, number one, two, whatever number you want to put on that, and that way I can count it as a piece of traffic for our total of, because we do pass traffic on this net, and these numbers, the check-ins and the traffic totals, are sent upline, and you know, that lets people know that this repeater is being used and this frequency is being used and for a lot of different things. Over.
At number three, no reason, just...
Here's your number three for this evening. The Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society is having a meeting at the Red Cross building at 940 Grove Road. And that is coming up, is that coming up this Monday? I thought it was last Monday. I'm behind here.
Don't worry. My brain's working about the same way. I've got it on my calendar as October 7th, 7 o'clock at the Blue Ridge, the Red Cross building downtown.
Okay, well, I don't remember, haven't checked my email, if I got an email on it, I didn't look at it. Sometimes they do change the dates on the club meeting times, but it's normally the first Monday of the month, but they may have changed that for who knows what reason, but that's okay if they did. But yeah, it's... I'll check with Johnny or Leroy or Dave and find out absolutely positive. It should be on the web page. I'll look on the web page and see if I can find it on there.
On my calendar as the first Monday of October, which is the 7th.
Totally correct. I looked at my calendar wrong. I've got my calendar hanging up on the wall, and I looked up there, and that 7 looks like a 1. And I dropped down from the first week, and so I messed that up all the way around. Lee, I apologize for that, but that is this coming Monday at October the 7th at 7 o'clock at the Red Cross building at 940 Grove Road.
Copy.
I've got it down, and we do appreciate it. And what else you got for us this evening?
Nothing else. That's pretty much it. Just shot you an email. Appreciate Patrick. And anybody that's listening that does not... let me think about this. Anybody listening that doesn't have their license yet, take your test, get your license. You will be amazed at the fun you're going to have.
And Lee, I did get your email. I pulled that up while we were talking. If you got a crayon you can write with, copy my phone number and you can give me a call. It's area code 864-567-1101. Now, sometimes I'm busy on the tractor or the lawnmower or left my phone in the house or something. If I don't answer, please leave me a voicemail, and I'll call you back. But hopefully I'll answer your call when you call, and We can discuss that at length that way if you want to.
Sir, I copied 864-567-1101.
That's it. That's my cell, and I put it out over there so many times, everybody in the country should have it by now, but that's okay. But just give me a call at your convenience, and we'll go that route. Now, some mornings I do sleep in. I'm retired. Or as my son tells me, I'm retarded. And I tell him, I said, look, I'm not retarded just because I sleep till 10 o'clock every once in a while. You know, I got up all them years and got up early before daylight and before the chickens crow. And I said, I can sleep in now if I want to. And he sort of laughed at me.
Nothing wrong with that. I plan on doing the exact same thing tomorrow morning.
You take care. Well, I'll say take care. Sleep well tonight when you decide to go to bed. And if you want to sleep late tomorrow, that's more than fine with me. Don't have a problem with it. But what else you got this evening that I can help you with?
For tonight, I will be monitoring. I'm going to be going to be clear, but I will be monitoring.
I'm gonna pick at you just a little bit, and if Patrick and some of the other fellas got me the other night, but I pick at people all the time when they say monitoring. You know, like during the day, if somebody throws their call sign out, I know they're listening to the radio. But they'll throw their call sign out, and you know, like KI4DOS monitoring. Well, yeah. Hey, I know somebody. If I put my call sign out over there, and my radio transmits, somebody hears me. They know I'm listening. And so I pick at them, and I call them like, oh, you must be one of those little hall monitors that tattletale that tells on people for running down the halls or whatnot. And so I pick at people about that. That's one of the things that I pick at people about. And you don't really have to say that. If you want to, that's fine. It's not wrong by any means. But when Patrick first got on the radio, he used to say it a lot. And I got him every time he said it, till I think, because I listened for him to do it. And he's about quit doing it now.
I wasn't one of the monitors. I was one of the AV film strip, the guys who did the film strip during the classroom movie.
Well, I'm glad that you were doing that anyway. But, yeah, like I said, I pick at people all the time by different things, but... You know, most of it is constructive. You know, I try not to be mean and ugly to anybody. But I remember a long time ago, the folks out there in Radio Land, they all get a kick out of this. Old Gene Owensby, WB4ZBZ, he listened just about all the time. And I had just gotten my license, and I keyed the microphone, and I talked with somebody, and I said, 10-4, and boy, he jumped on me with both feet, and I mean, he did it hard. He said, we do not use 10 codes on 2 meters. And I said, Gene, I promise you, I will not do that again. And to my knowledge, I haven't done it again, but I won't ever forget him fussing at me over the radio about that. And I told him when I met him face to face, I said, you know, Gene, I said, it didn't hurt me, my feelings, as much as it did make me mad because you did it on the radio. And I said, that embarrassed me. And he said, well, you're supposed to be. And he said, I was just trying to help you.
Yes, sir, that was one thing I never got into was the whole CB thing.
Truck for probably 40 years before I got my license. And, you know, I had 11 meters in the truck. I had CBs. And There's a lot of good hams that started out in CB, and there's a lot of them that still play with it every once in a while. And I don't see anything wrong with it. You know, it was years and years ago, it was part of the ham bands. Then the FCC deregulated it and gave it to the trucking industry pretty much. And then it just went to what it is now. And I keep my mouth shut on that.
Yes, sir. I grew up in the 70s. I had a next-door neighbor who had a large tower in his backyard. And he gave us all a list of days and times that he would be on the radio that we could not watch TV or listen to the radio because of the interference. And that's what really got me interested in this amateur radio.
I got too interested in it, but I sure am glad that you did. And if you have as much fun with amateur radio as I've had, you will have a blast.
Time so far, mobile installed, handheld is what I use most of the time. Don't have a home-based unit yet. Still negotiating with the wife on that. She's winning, but hopefully I'll have a base station here set up shortly. But you know, happy wife, happy life.
Completely, and I'm very fortunate. My wife is also a ham. She didn't get her license at the same time. Me and my oldest son got our license at the same time. And we were supposed to get together and go 1 month, and I don't know if I overslept, was sick or what, but anyway, I didn't go for testing the day he did, so he got his technician license before I got mine. And so I went the next month and got my license. And he went and at the same time and took the general, so he was still ahead of me. And I said, well, I'm going to fix him, so I took my general. And then I went back and took the extra, and when I passed it, I called him and I said, did you go testing today? And are you going to testing today? And he said, no, I'm not going today. And I said, okay. So when I got back out of testing, I called him and I said, oh, by the way, your dad's an extra now. And I said, you're behind. And he still hasn't upgraded to extra, but he's a good fella, and he enjoys his radios too. But again, Lee, I hope you have as much fun with yours as I have mine. But my wife got her license. She was doing, getting on HF, and she was logging my contacts for me. And she got aggravated one evening. There was a gentleman on there she would like to talk to, and she flipped the logging paper around, and she said, if I can't talk, I'm not doing any logging. And so she quit and got her license. And so I've been doing my own logging ever since, but at least I got a wife that's a ham.
Yes, sir, I understand that. I do have my wife on GMRS. Hopefully I'll get her to take her test one day. But I got my amateur. I'm working on my general, studying for that. But, yeah, I'm having a great time. It's been fun so far. It's been overwhelming at times this past week, just driving around Simpsonville and reporting, Malden, Simpsonville, Fountain Inn, just reporting what was open, what was, you know, taking cash, credit, debit, all that. It's been a little overwhelming, but really hope I've helped out some people in 4CRD.
In the Blue Ridge Commuter Net with N4CRV, Mr. Lee down there in Simpsonville. Well, Lee, we do appreciate you riding around and giving the folks the information that they needed, you know, about stations that were open, businesses that were open, and whether they had gas or not, and this sort of thing. That was a big help to a lot of folks. At one point in time, I was starting to wonder, you know, if you heard me say earlier, I ran my generator for a little bit. Well, I'd pulled the last 5 gallons of gas out of my gas can into my generator, And it was out there running, and my neighbor came across, and he said, I'm going to the store down here. He said, I know they've got gas because they just got power back. He said, I'm going down there to get gas from my generator. I said, okay. I said, you want to go in my truck or your car? And he said, we'll go in my truck. And I said, okay. And I went and got my gas can. He got his, and we both went and got gas. So it works out. Then, like I said, I wouldn't have known that place was open and was pumping gas if he hadn't let me know.
Completely understand that. It's been a crazy week. I just recently discovered the company I work for. We actually sell Briggs and Stratton generators, and I'm actually looking at one for our house. We just got power back on yesterday. Had to get an electrician out here to do some meter math and weatherhead repairs to a tree that had fallen in my neighbor's backyard that took the power off my house and a couple of others, and got that repaired, new power reattached, and we got power back on yesterday, so very blessed. I've got a lot of neighbors that unfortunately looks like they may have lost their houses, trees right down the middle, splitting their house in two. So I'm very blessed that we've had minor damage, and yeah, it's just been crazy.
Houses in my neighborhood the same way. I've got one neighbor down here. I say a neighbor. They live two streets over. But they're still my neighbors. I wave at them when they go by, and they wave at me. And they know who I am because I have I normally have a big vegetable garden in the summer. And I was talking to them today. And they said, oh, you're the guy that waves at us that has the vegetables up there. And I said, yep, that's me. Because they couldn't place exactly where I lived. But they had two pine trees laid across the middle of their house. And they were waiting on the insurance adjuster. He was supposed to come out today. And I said, well, I hope he gets here soon, you know. And they said, me too. But don't know what became of that. But I imagine they will have to replace his house. I hate it for him, but tell you, those big pine trees, when they laid across his house, they didn't think nothing of the roof and the walls and stuff because they went right on through it.
Yes, sir. Down here in Simpsonville, I'm in the Westwood neighborhood, and it's nothing but oak trees. And Friday morning, it was a nightmare. I mean, our entire neighborhood looked like a war zone. Trees down, power lines down. I will say it publicly, I have a great group of neighbors. We all got out here Friday afternoon, and we got these trees cut up, got the roads unblocked, and I just can't say enough for the neighbors that that are here in this neighborhood. They're great. Give me the shirt off their back in a heartbeat. Wouldn't even think twice about it. Great group of guys.
Yeah. Harrison, the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with N4CRV, Mr. Lee down in Simpsonville. Well, Lee, that's what communities are all about. You know, we used to help each other, and neighbors used to know neighbors, and I have lived in areas that I didn't know who my next-door neighbor was. I hated apartment living. We lived in an apartment years and years and years ago. I didn't know the people across the hall from you or the next door to you or anything. And you know, if you spoke to them, they thought you were crazy or something. But that, well, most of that happened in California. When I was in the military, Joy and I went out there. And I was married then, and she went with me, of course. And when we were living in the apartments out there, we did make some good friends, though. I will say that. Still friends with a couple that we met when I was in service. We went out there in 1971. Anyway, we're still friends with the folks that we met out there. They were from North Carolina, and then we were from South Carolina, and we were both couples stationed in California. And we got together and got talking about home, and when we got out, Alan and Barbara got out before 3 months before we did, and they came back to North Carolina, and when we got out, we went to North Carolina instead of coming to South Carolina to see our families. We went to see our friends that we made out there. So, you know, good friendships are hard to beat.
Yes, sir, you got that right. I can count on one hand the number of people that I can count on that I've known for a long time. My wife and I have been married 31 years, been living in Simpsonville, 26, in the same house. We actually bought the house she grew up in. So very familiar with the neighborhood. But yes, there's nothing like neighbor, good, great neighbors, friendship, fellowship. It's all good.
Let me see if I got any other check-ins. Anybody else that want to check into the net tonight? And then I'll come right back to you. Do we have any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
DOS. Evening, Gary. Please check in. Kilo Mike 4 Alpha India Tango. KM4AIT. This is Vince over Morris Springs, South Carolina. Have a comment.
Good EOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Would like to say good evening, KM4AIT. Mr. Vince over there in Bowling Springs. Vince, hope you are doing well, staying well and safe. What's your comment?
I know that Mr. Sid, W4IOE there in Fletcher, just got some information about him and his family, and they're doing well. As well, everybody knows, he's calling in on Sunday night on 610. I'm sorry, 640. I don't think 640 is working, but they don't have any power. But he's got a little bit of cell phone usage, and his neighbors is doing, helping them out with water. So we've been trying to find out the information since the storm hit, and we're glad to hear that. So anyway, with that, we'll let you go. Thanks a lot so much for what you do for the ham world, Gary, and thank you for calling the net, and I hope this information will help out somewhat. Thanks a lot again. KM4AIT, we'll be gone.
Well, I do appreciate you bringing that information along. Believe it or not, I had another ham ask about Sid earlier this evening, and James, KK4JFO, let us know that the last time he talked to him, he was doing good, but he didn't know if he would be able to call the net or not. Said he was without power, and that's the reason he wasn't checking into the nets. But do appreciate you bringing that into us and letting us know that he and his wife are doing well. That's Miss Beverly. And, gosh, just thank you so much for that health and welfare information there, Vince. And, again, you stay well and stay safe over there in Bowling Springs. I4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Going back here to N4CRV, Mr. Lee over there, or down there in Simpsonville. Lee, I'm glad that you and your neighbors got the roads unblocked and were able to get out there. A lot of people don't think about it, but you fellowship a good bit while you sit there working. The one guy may be running the chainsaw, and you got three guys hauling limbs and pieces of logs and that sort of thing. And you do talk a little bit while you're working. And it's good that you could all get together and work together like that to get the roads cleared and to where you could get out and take care of things that may have needed taking care of. And hopefully nobody was hurt in your area, and all those that had medical problems were able to get the help that they needed.
Crazy. I sit here and I think about a week ago, and Friday morning when the everything went crazy and the storm hit and trees were down, and Friday afternoon we're all out clearing up trees, and you know, by Friday night, other than the trees that were cut up and pushed to the side and lined up in everybody's yard, I mean, honestly, couldn't help but tell that anything had come through, you know, except for the few houses that had trees on them, and one neighbor's lost an entire upstairs, one neighbor's got a tree on their house, but other than that, it's amazing how humanity comes together when things are as bad as they can get.
They'll come together as neighbors in a country, you know, when bad things happen. You know, a lot of people have forgotten 9/11, you know, the day the terrorists flew those airplanes into the trade towers and the Pentagon. But look at the way the nation came together during that. Now, that was a little bit different than the storm that we just had come through here. But at the same time, you know, the people are coming together in the same fashion. You know, there are people helping each other and helping neighbors out and helping people that they wouldn't normally speak to, which is a good thing as far as I'm concerned. You know, as long as we can get along and talk to each other and speak to each other occasionally with a civil tongue instead of fussing and fighting, we're a whole lot better off.
You are 100% correct on that. Seems like a lot of us did forget 9/11, sadly, but seems like everybody seemed to come together, which is good.
Joy and I were talking, and we're discussing when Hugo came through, and she got to figuring up on her fingers and toes and stuff. She said, "Do you realize it's been 30 years?" And I said, "Yeah, it's been 30 years since Hugo came through." And we didn't get nowhere near the damage when it came in that we did this time, but the people on up, like towards Charlotte and that area, got a whole lot more than we did. So, but, you know, she said, it's hard to believe it's been 30 years since that hurricane came in and did that kind of destruction along the coast. Now, we didn't have it along the coast this time, but, you know, it came on up into the mountains, which is kind of unusual to start with.
Yeah, this one had a really flashback effect for me. I was actually in 89 when Hugo came in. I know what it's like to have a house come down on top of me. Was in the basement, and I was in there for about a day before I was able to be dug out. So this had some flashback effects for me. Luckily, we only had minor damage. I just had some meter mast and weatherhead damage that I had to have an electrician come out and fix before this power would reconnect to the house. But, yeah, 89 Hugo was a totally different story. Having a house come down on top of you it has some effects on you. The whole thing coming down on top of you, but luckily I'm okay and got out and it was good. But yeah, it was a little flashback, but it was good. In force CRV.
Yeah, that's odd that I would bring that up and you had lived through it down there. I was driving a truck at that time, and I went down before the storm hit, and I had to make a delivery. I had to go out across the Cooper River Bridge out there to Mount Pleasant, and there was a highway patrolman stopped me there at the the Charleston side of the bridge and asked me where I was going, and I told him, and he said, I'll give you 1 hour from the time you leave me to the time you get back here to get over there, make your delivery, and get back out. And I said, okay. So I was carrying a load of food items, you know, perishables, and I had to get it over there and get it delivered, and I did, and got back out of there. And when I got back to the position that he was on the bridge when I left, you know, to go over to Mount Pleasant, he was already gone. But I went westbound on the eastbound side of 26, up all the way up to Orangeburg, and to get out of there. And then of course the traffic got in a bigger mess as it went on into Columbia. But I didn't mean to give you any flashbacks or anything about that when I said that. I did not know that you had been through it.